call this special meeting to order. For the very exciting prospect of new prospects, new opportunities. So, Madam Clerk, would you call the roll?
I sure will. Warren Keough, District 1.
Present.
Noel Woods, District 2.
Here.
Ronald Arvin, District 3.
Here.
Steve Culligan, District 4.
Here.
Darcy Solomon, District 5.
Here.
And Jim Culver, District 6.
Here.
Bernhalter, District 7.
I'll find me here.
Got a quorum, Mr. Mayor.
Very good. Is there any objection to the agenda? Seeing and hearing none, we have the orders for the day. We'll rise and I'll ask Mr. Griffith to lead us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So we have a simple request to reconsider, which we must deal with first. I think we know enough about the intention to just deal with whether we will reconsider or not.
Just an agenda question. Did you intend to issue vetoes tonight, or are we waiting for tomorrow? Okay, so we could either wait to deal with that tonight, or it could be also on tomorrow night's agenda?
Yes, my intention. My intentions were to issue the vetoes tonight, but I did not have time to do that today.
Okay, because, all right, well, I wasn't really prepared to deal with that. That'd give us more time when you get them to us, and we'll just take it as it goes. Thank you.
Okay, so the motion, Mr. Deputy Mayor, would you make the motion?
Mr. Mayor, I move to reconsider Ordinance Serial Number 12-012.
And I want to speak to it. You have spoken to it.
Yeah, generally, we do not have a flat mill rate. And there was discussion, there's been individuals in this building that have posted stuff on the borough's website saying that we have a flat mill rate. The mayor's quoted saying we have a flat mill rate, and the fact of the matter is we don't. There's a mill rate that's off by 0.197 mils, which equals about $1.6 million. And I think I have an effective way to meet that target, so it is in fact flat, by reducing fund balances in three separate fund accounts. That's okay. My motion. And I would encourage you to at least move to reconsider and hear the full breadth of the argument and then decide.
All right, but let's not debate the next motion if the motion to reconsider does pass. Assemblymember Colbert.
A question to the mayor, to the finance director. On an average valued home, Tammy, what would that equal? I'm looking at the next motion is $1.4 million out of different funds. In mill rate equivalent, what does that average out in dollars to your basic home? What are we talking about here?
It's $19.70 per $100,000 of assessed value.
But it's actually it's 0.227. Not 0.197, so it's 40.
Oh, that number changed a little bit.
Yeah, 47.99 on the average value of 211,400.
And Madam Clerk, this is related because last time we ended up with a budget, a mill rate area wide that was under 10.
No,
but the area wide mill rate that came out on the tax bill.
This is what
was over 10, so.
In referencing
the email, this was a question I asked finance director a meeting or two ago, and I never got an answer. I didn't give her a chance to answer.
I think she thought you were talking to me.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought you were, and Jim had asked, Assemblymember Culver had asked me questions.
A year ago, we ended up with a mill rate that was in the high nines. But when the tax bills came out, the area-wide mill rate was over 10. And I never had a good answer for that.
The mill rate last year was set at 10.051, and then there was a rebate that brought it down to 9.
Oh, well, yeah, I did understand that. But, okay. Assuming there was some.
Just to speak to the rationale for reconsideration, my question stems to whether or not the mill rate's flat or not flat. How does that correspond to any action necessary on what we passed as a budget, if any? What difference does that exact thing make that would make me want to reconsider?
It depends on your goals.
Well, that's why I guess I'm asking to Mr. Arvin, to the mayor.
Member Arvin. My goal is to present a flat or reduced budget, and the rebate versus and how you apply the municipal revenue sharing money is not a super simple issue, and it's not complicated either, but it's very clear in that we did not deliver a flat budget, and it was my intention to do so.
And yet we had a 7-0 vote on the budget as presented and approved, and it seems as though the rationale for the recall is to rehash that particular topic, which we spent a good deal of time on and came to the finalized conclusion that passed the budget 7-0, and so I'm opposed to revisiting that tonight.
Okay.
Thank you.
You've spoken to the motion, which is more than most of us have. Assemblymember Colton.
I'm in favor of revisiting this. I feel a little bit duped by our intent was to look at a flat budget when we started, and I think by no fault but maybe some misunderstanding, the fact is we indeed did not do that or accomplish that. And to Assemblymember Salmon's comment, I think when we adjourned the other day, we thought it was flat when in fact it was not. It was flat to the fact that it's kind of like talking about or complaining that you had a 3% budget decrease when the actuality is you asked for 7% and you really got a 4% increase and you see it as a 3% decrease. The reality is what we thought the numbers in front of us were a flat budget were actually the budget, including the municipal revenue sharing applied last time and some other things that really wasn't flat. And I think our intent when we started out was to have and maintain a flat budget so that when I look at my tax bill, my neighbors look at their tax bill next time, they know that we've done everything we can to maintain those costs and work with the management and staff this next year to further consider our priorities and set out and do what we said we were going to do when we started. And I think when we adjourned the other night, we did not have that information. And what we were directed or about the numbers in front of us that were flat were not flat.
Okay, are we ready? Assemblymember Keogh.
I requested that the finance director today figure out what the average assessed, for property owners with an average assessed value property, which is $211,400 based on the area-wide mill rate of 9.918 and a non-area-wide of 4.89. what would our total, what does an individual that owns an average valued home pay in the valley? And I compared it to the last 3 years, and so as we define flatness, that range, including area-wide and non-area-wide for the last 4 years, has maintained a range of $90. So we've been essentially flat for the last 4 years. The highest was 2010 with a combined area-wide and non-area-wide tax of $2,258. And the lowest was 2011 with $2,168. And the last 2 years have been in between. So in a general way, we are relatively flat
Are you speaking for or against the motion?
I haven't decided yet.
Well,
I also have a comment, and that is just to be clear, if we do reconsider to look again at the budget, everything's wide open. And I will, if we do reconsider, I will bring back the rebate option and one or two other items.
Are we ready for the question?
Mr. Mayor?
Okay, you haven't spoken yet.
I just would like Ms. Clayton to let me know, what was the final mill rate we settled on when we passed the budget the other night, and what was the mill rate a year ago last year? And both the one we settled on plus the rebate.
Through the mayor to Assemblymember Holter, the mill rate, the area-wide mill rate was 9.918. That's what was approved last week.
Okay.
Last year, the mill rate was approved at 10.051 with a rebate of
0.69. And that made it what?
Net 9.361.
And so it was lower last year.
The net, yes, 9.361.
Okay, thank you.
So, Assemblymember Arvin and Assemblymember Woods.
Yeah, I guess we're debating the potential question is to come. Is that kind of
we're
what
we're debating? People are trying to tip still to decide whether they want to reconsider or not.
Okay, well, I labored over this a little bit, whether or not to open up the entire budget. This is the only motion that I intend to make, and would encourage others not to just start diving into the whole thing. I know it opens it up, and I know it's at risk, but it's at your prerogative if you want to do that. And just to make a very clear statement, relatively flat is not flat. It is math. It is simple arithmetic, and it is money that can go back into the pockets of the property owner instead into reserve accounts at the bank. I would encourage you to bring this back for reconsideration so we can discuss it for a little bit. We'll look for your support.
Assemblymember Woods?
Yes, could I ask Ms. Miller if there's enough capital and emergency response in the budget that to take care of potential,
is this germane to deciding whether to reconsider?
Yes, it is, okay. Because we're taking $1.6 million out of some reserve accounts, and have we in previous years had need for those reserve accounts, or have they just accumulated year after year until as a normal activity of the finance department? How does that work with you people? Is that
through the mayor to Assemblymember Woods? Yes, we have utilized those funds in the past. We did in the year of the windstorm. We did when we had flooding. We did when we had a spill. There was a fire. And with regards, there may have been some others. I just don't have them all off the top of my head. And with regards to the capital, yes, we have used that in the past. In fact, City of Palmer got some money for their ice arena. We've used it. I want to say portables. I'm looking at Cheyenne to see if she can remember. We've probably used it four or five times.
May I?
Mr. Woods, really, you're debating a question that isn't even on the table at this point. And Mr. Halter doesn't have it. And by rights, none of you would necessarily have it. We're to be discussing whether we want to open this for reconsideration so that Assemblymember Arvin can somehow lower the mill rate. Assemblymember Culver.
Well, I like low taxes. And the amount in dollars on an average home is about what you put 10 gallons of gas in your car. It doesn't go very far. But I think what we're involved in is a bit of a budget shell game, and I think the Frontiersman kind of alluded to that in their editorial, because when we play with this rebate, how we apply the revenue sharing, you know, we have taken a bold move. You know, it was a divided vote to start out at a lower number next year because the limitations of the revenue cap, because of the decision made to not float the revenue sharing as a rebate and thus artificially keep the mill rate higher. And so now we're kind of dealing with that issue because although it was 10.051 published and the press release that went out of the building said that this year's that really wasn't a mill rate because we really were at 9.361 when we applied all the revenues. And then I think what Mr. Arvin then is doing is adding in the voter-approved bonds. But he does have a good point. I mean, I'm seeing that we need to keep some money on hand because we've just now lowered the revenue amount available to the borough. So we are, make no bones about it, we're going to be tight next year, okay? But on the other hand, when you argue it, and I can argue it both ways, the other way is it's a long, big jump from 9.36 to 9.91 in Mr. Arvin's favor. That's 6/10 of a mil. That makes a difference on people's taxes. They're going to notice that. So, yeah, this is a tough call. You know, are these the proper places to go? Does the manager have any other ideas? If we do open this up, would he would rather go somewhere else? I guess that's an opportunity for the manager to manage. But, you know, Ron's point's well taken that people are going to feel it. They're going to see it. And so, what is the policy here? And but again, we also need to look not just at this year, but next year, and we need to be 5 years out. And we've got, you know, this is really obvious that we've got to diversify this tax base, and we can't continue to provide all the services and the level of service. We've, you know, we look at EMS and these things. Millions of dollars more going into these services that we need to provide, but we're still living on residential homes primarily, and it's just not a very good way to go, and that's why I think we feel this pressure that there's a limit to what we can do here. So,
okay, it's a very simple question. The next question is going to be a lot more complicated. Have you made up your mind, Assemblymember Keogh?
Not yet.
What do you want to talk about then?
Through the mayor to the manager or the finance director, I would like to know if we are approaching or if we have approached the point by diminishing our reserves, are we at the point of affecting our bond rating, which is high and has been growing the last year or two? It's bumped up a little bit. Are we at the point now where our bond rating will be affected and perhaps diminished?
Ms. Clayton.
Through the mayor to Assemblymember Keogh. our reserves, well, depending upon what happens tomorrow night, because also before you tomorrow night is to reduce one of the reserves, $5.7 million. So taking this 1.6 with the 5.7, that'll be a, if they were both approved, that'd be a $7.3 million reduction. So, yes, they could take that very much into consideration with our next rating, which will be in the fall, because it'll be with the road bonds.
Assemblymember Culligan.
I will remind you that we approved a 25% reserve in our budget, and there's been much debate on if that's enough, too much, and the like. These are all reserve accounts on top of in the enterprise funds and everything else, we have 25% of our total past budget in reserve. So these, I think, are sound like they're individual accounts in addition to our, quote, reserve.
Ms. Clayton, just to make it clear, what is the mandated 25% number?
What was approved was $25,047,100.
And how much reserves do we have?
Before this?
Now.
Okay. Before any actions tonight and any actions tomorrow night, $37 million. And that's with the $25
million. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Are you ready for the question? Put it on the board.
Assemblymember Halter.
Well, with all due respect to Ron, I guess I won't reconsider.
So the vote is no?
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, it passes with Assemblymember Solomon, Assemblymember Keough, and Assemblymember Halter opposed.
Okay, Assemblymember Arvin, you may make your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to amend reserves for major repairs and renovations by striking $2,068,000 and inserting in its place $879,248 for a reduction of $1,188,752. Reserve for capital by striking $750,000 and inserting in its place $500,000 for a reduction of $250,000. Reserve for emergency response by striking $750,000 and inserting in its place $500,000 for a reduction of
$250,000. Okay, there's a motion on the table. Do you want to speak to it?
Yes, thank you. So it's interesting just to consider it. Really, I think the salient points were touched on. And but you know, I do want to say something that I guess gave me a little bit of pause when we accepted the budget last week. Was that, you know, there was comments that by board members that, you know, the sky is falling, the economy's crashing, and I agree there's grave financial problems, not only in our town, but in our country and throughout the world. But I will say the revenue cap that we're working around, working under, was put in place as a function of a citizens' initiative. The citizens' initiative was pretty clear in its goal. It had sufficient number of petitioners to get it on the ballot, and the assembly at the time passed an ordinance that mirrored the initiative language, put it in code. And what that did then, it allowed the clerk to advise the petitioners that their petition wasn't needed because their goal in the petition was effectuated by code and therefore it never ended up on the ballot. So I mentioned that really to say that if there is a catastrophic event, the assembly put the code in. The assembly can remove the revenue cap. If there was a cataclysmic event, they'd have to have the political willpower to do so, but it is an action that sits at this table to remove the revenue cap. Then regarding, and this will be, I'm wrapping up, then, because I think the points were made earlier by others, and including myself. The accounts that these are coming out of, Ms. Clayton spoke to reasons why these accounts were drawn down. Those were not largely, not 100%, but largely those were natural calamities, okay? And they weren't, and some of them were significant. The wind event caused a lot of damage. But those accounts are remaining at 500,000, and those draws were less than that. And please correct me if I'm wrong, Ms. Clayton, but those draws, remember, now the assembly increased these from, they were 250, and increased them to 750 last year. So I'm trying to strike it. Was it last year?
No.
We raised some.
You raised the threshold, but you didn't fund it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so the threshold's there, but it's nevertheless has balances of 750,000. So striking out for tax mill rate reduction, I think is a safe thing to do. It leaves sufficient balances in the accounts to deal with natural calamities if they happen. I was considering moving to take all this money out of the major renovation and repair, but that would have left in its place about $300,000. I thought maybe that was a little bit thin. And so there's still nearly $900,000 in that account. So I'd ask for your support. I think this is a pretty fundamental deal. And this is a shell game. You can come up with any kind of phrase you want, how the assemblies have dealt with the rebate and the municipal revenue sharing. And in my opinion, really, I guess there was comments too about what happens if municipal revenue sharing doesn't come? What happens if it doesn't come? Well, I think we should have a budget built around the notion that it's not coming, and when it comes, and if it comes, then we can do something. But our budget shouldn't be based around that number. That should be something that we deal with should it come, not, oh my gosh, what if it doesn't come? So I'll yield the floor, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, Assemblymember Culligan. Or was it
Culver?
Culver. Culver. Well, the Culligans over here, we are the Culvers and the Culligans. The question to the mayor, to the manager, you got any other offsets that might supplant these that you'd rather see?
I don't per se, but I would like to point out that when I brought my budget, it did not include any of the money for business license and also too for the personal property tax. And so that's going to be very important because you put that into this budget and you're going to act on that tomorrow night, one way or the other.
What did we put in for that through the follow-up? Didn't we put a number in for that revenue?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. You put it in at a level of 500,000 on personal property tax, correct? And then for the we had a number of 200,000, I believe, for the business license. So this, as a manager, in my opinion, kind of seals your decision tomorrow night, although you're not going to make it till tomorrow night because Lonnie wouldn't let you.
Okay.
So essentially, you're kind of flip-flopping there. And what you're doing, my first thought was, let's go ahead and just go back to the original manager plan, since I came up with it. But what you're doing this way is you'll be shifting the tax burden from businesses to homeowners. So essentially you put that money back in, having the businesses pay a portion of what they normally pay, and then also reducing that to homeowners. This all comes down to the point where this assembly and every assembly that's probably ever been here wants to be fair to the taxpayers and property owners and does not want to be seen as overtaxing and trying to do a fair way of doing that. As we tighten this up, and I mean we have shrunk with this available money in the past, we've been shrinking the last 3 years,
there's going to come a point where it's going to be very difficult to allow the assembly to stay at those number levels without really affecting services. And that's my concern for you and operations. If we want to reduce services, I'm prepared to do so, but I have not come up with any consensus from the assembly or anyone else what services that we cut. And overall, that's my concern. This assembly also really likes to take care of problems immediately, and less money available gives us less opportunity to do so. So we may have to say, hey, wait, we may not be able to take care of these problems right now or this great option right now. And so those are really my two concerns. Taking care of the assembly next year and the year after, and also as projects kind of come forward. But essentially the way I look at it is you're in the budget, you are going to reduce, or at least my recommendation, which I thought you were going to go for, is reducing those taxes on business. It pretty much is just flip-flop on reserving those for homeowners and taxpayers.
Okay.
Through the manager to Ms. Clayton, the major repairs and renovations account, what has it been used for by dollar amount in year? How long has it been since we've drawn that down and any significant value?
There was, when we had the Sioux Valley fire, I'm trying to Cheyenne, can you email me the schedule? I'm just remembering it from the top of my memory, but when we had the Sioux Valley fire, they took out $432,000 for portables. And last year, the assembly took out $1.5 million for the new building.
We're using major repairs and renovations for new construction?
That was the motion that was made, and that was approved.
Okay. Thank you.
Further discussion, Assembly Member Keogh.
I move we lay this motion on the table until any other actions have been made or any other motions on the budget. So this motion will be the last item of business. Prior to approving the budget.
Okay. Is there discussion? Is there objection?
Yes.
I object.
Okay. Put it on the board then. On the motion to postpone until last in the meeting.
Assemblymember Halter. Mr. Mayor, it failed. Is Assemblymember Keogh in favor?
Who supported your own motion anyway? So, are we ready for the question? I think we understand what's happening. Is there objection?
Objection.
Okay, put it on the board then.
Assemblymember Halter.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, it passes with Assemblymember Solomon, Assemblymember Keogh, and Assemblymember Woods opposed.
Okay.
I move we approve the budget.
We have to set the mill rate first.
All right, let's set the mill rate, and I move we approve the budget.
And I have two motions to make, too, what you said.
No. I'm moving we approve the budget.
I got you.
Your Honor.
Well, I'm going to take them one at a time. Would you give us the mill rate?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, and members of the Assembly. The area my mill rate would be 9.691.
Okay, I move we approve the budget as amended.
9.691. And that's before we move the final budget.
Main motion is still on the floor, Mr. Mayor, and this hasn't. Nobody's moved this motion yet.
Which motion?
To change the area-wide mill rate to 9.6.
Right, we have to do that before we vote on the
budget.
Right.
Exactly.
So there's a motion to approve the mill rate at 9.691. Is there objection to that?
Objection.
Okay, put it on the board.
Assemblymember Assemblymember Halter?
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, it passed with Assemblymember Keough opposed.
Okay. The final motion's on the floor. Is there objection?
Is there discussion first?
Sure, of course.
I have two motions that I'd like to bring forward for consideration. Both motions failed by a 3-4 vote our previous meeting, and I'd like to argue those motions again.
I think Vern has the floor, though. That's not an interruptible motion, Mr. Mayor, point of order.
Yeah, well, Madam Clerk.
Any motion is still on the floor, Mr. Mayor. Any amendment is allowable. So,
yeah.
And the mill rate would just need, if any motions passed that affected the mill rate, it would just need to be changed again.
Would we have a final vote on the final amendment?
No.
Motion as amended?
Uh-huh. No. We set the mill rate, but we did not move the final motion.
That's what I think Mr. Halter's amendment was, and then you clarified that parliamentarily, saying that we needed to do the mill rate, and that became a motion on the floor that took precedence, but he still has the floor in his motion, and the intent, as I understood, was to close out the budget, the final motion.
Okay, I'm going to take the motion on the floor to close the debate. Is there objection to that before we vote on the main motion? No objection? We're closing debate then. So we have before us the final motion, which is, can you read it? This long paragraph about the budget.
Just adopting the
ordinance. We're adopting the ordinance. Is there objection to the ordinance?
Objection.
Put it on the board.
Assemblymember Halter?
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, it passed with Assemblymember Keough opposed.
Okay, audience participation. There's nobody signed up, but anybody with any insight, please come forward, state your name for the record.
My name is Patricia Rosnell. Actually, Madam Clerk, not that this was in my comments, but that last, I guess I would question as an improper or dilatory motion. Back to the point. Mr. Mayor, Assembly Members, staff, while we lack time for me to read my more detailed letter before you, I cannot leave it without saying that in light of the continuous flow of money during the year to assembly projects, from what appear to be funds restricted to public purposes, the tasks I suggest are entirely doable by repurposing money at hand. We certainly need modernizing public meeting space, but I question spending over $7 million on accommodations while the borough experiences hemorrhages from questionable development projects, through consistent loss of expensive EMS expertise and equipment, and from the apparent failure to date to address the substantive issues detailed in the May 2008 EMS management review audit. My copy of that report speaks to apparently still unaddressed issues of governance and administration. While this consistently costly department continues to contribute liability risk and a steady drain of public funds beginning as long as 14 years ago. Existing resources might also be found to upgrade the other large piece of the Bureau administrative pie, finance, to reveal public funds for allocation in the normal budget process rather than in harder to follow bids throughout the year. It is disingenuous for this assembly to continue to increase parts of their own budget and spend as much as $7,000 each on filling temporary positions when those incumbents perform work of a permanent nature. It is disingenuous for the conservative patriots to broadcast tax savings approaching $50 on $100,000 when my understanding is that it was really less than half that amount, which we actually won't see anyway for the bond increase and service area taxes on top of the rest. We need balanced government, responsive to the needs and aspirations of all, not focused on growth at any cost for the short-term gain of a relative few. We are all forced to be conservative if we're to make it on less money of potentially decreasing value. We conserve for our individual homes, and with the transparency encouraged by the mayor, we can be informed enough to conserve for our valley home and to protect it from both outside threats and from internal pressures for overdevelopment and urban sprawl. Thank you.
Ms. Rosnell, I'd just like to clarify something for the record here of Ministry of Disinformation. $300,000 for EMS management review in your paper you just handed out. It's not for management review. It's for consolidated dispatch. We have two duplicate dispatch centers in our borough boundaries, which is a duplication of effort. They're both underfunded. $300,000 is not for an EMS study. It's for a consolidation study and plan to save money in the future and not duplicate what we already have. There's $35,000 for the management study or $50,000 for the management study, but $300,000 is for a consolidated dispatch study where we are duplicating effort between Palmer, Wasilla, Houston, and the state troopers, and it is costing us money, both which are currently underfunded, both which need major upgrades, and that money is spent to identify exactly the governance model and the plan and the funding required so that we can increase service and reduce duplication. Thank you.
Anybody else?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Michelle Church. So it is $300,000 for a study.
It's $300,000 for a implementation plan.
It's out of order. No.
Okay. I was just going to make that point. It is $300,000 for a study. Thank you.
Anybody else?
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly. I hadn't planned to come in from outside this evening, but I thought, well, I had kind of been following the budget process, and I just kind of had a question I thought I'd leave with you with. I've only kind of read what you have been doing in the popular press, and I'm sure it's all very accurate, but I wanted to express my concern about, it looked to me like you were attempting to lower the mill rate by using state revenue sharing funds. And if that's true, I have a problem with that. I think there was a, if you are really running your government responsibly, you have to identify your budget items and have a good long-term outlook, not only for what you have in terms of your government, but what you have in terms of economic opportunities. And by lowering the mill rate with state funds, I think you put at risk possibility that you may not have revenue sharing the next year. Oil prices are headed down, and one of the things that the state government has historically done when funding gets tight is they chop revenue sharing. And so I don't think it's a good responsible move to take what could be one-time only funds for reduction in property tax. And when push comes to shove, you're either going to have to raise taxes or you're going to have to cut more services. And on that note, I think what we've got a problem with is you can't tax your way to prosperity, neither can you cut your way to prosperity. But I think what people are learning in governments across the country, and ours is no exception, is that you have to have a good process, a strong process of government to accommodate the economic opportunities in front of us. And just a few weeks ago, I was here to hear somebody from our Department of Labor recount all of our wonderful opportunities that we do have better than anywhere in the state. And so I think we need to make sure that those economic opportunities are addressed by a government that's ready to meet them. It's not just cutting regulations that's going to accomplish it. It has to be the people of the borough, the business owners of the borough, and the government of the borough ready to go to work and invest in our future together. And so I don't think that using one-time funds lower our property mill rate, $50 per 100,000, is a very responsible way. And if that is the case, I think you should reconsider that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anybody else? Seeing and hearing none, we will close and bring it back. See, I'm looking at Jay Park. No veto. Yeah.
Yay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
It's on record. So we're ready for comments. Any staff comments? Any Assemblymember comments? Assemblymember Keogh.
I have a couple of comments. As a sole dissenting vote on the budget, I'll share two items. About 2 minutes length each. One of the reasons I oppose supporting the budget that we have before us is that there is there's a bit of an inequity about the way that we've amended this budget as it plays out geographically or district by district. And one of the items I was going to bring forward this evening, but was not able to, was to amend the capital budget to add emergency services District 6 ambulance building design and construction phase 1 forward again for $150,000 as a capital appropriation, an area-wide capital appropriation. This amendment previously failed, but I'd like to acknowledge the support of Assemblymember Salmon and Assemblymember Halter for their votes in that losing effort.
This was that District 6 or District 1?
District 1.
Okay, I think you said.
Oh. So this was simply to make a modification to an old existing building to put in an overhead door and to re-roof it at a relatively moderate cost. Now, some of the things that we have done in capital projects is, and I say this as one who's who's lowered the budget on various road service areas and various fire service areas, and I've supported many of these things that I'm going to mention here. But for instance, Palmer Library, $65,000. Wasilla Library, $75,000. Houston, $35,000. $3 an hour raise for first responders, which is $290,000 out of the area-wide fund. The port, we approved $282,000 to make barge dock repairs. The youth court, $75,000 for, this happens in Wasilla, $75,000 for them. Hatcher Pass Development Plan, $395,000. Talkeetna Library, $385,000. Parks and Rec, another $24,000. The Consolidated Dispatch Study, $350,000. Emergency Services Study, which we did 4 years ago, another $50,000. And so it seems to me, and I look how these capital projects are spread not that they're all capital projects, but see how they're spread borough-wide through districts. And there's a, I think if you look at it and think about it, there's a certain fundamental inequity about them. So when we have an emergency services project and a relatively small one, it pains me to look at one of the ordinances we're going to look at tomorrow night, which is takes $308,000 from emergency services fund to supplement the monies that we will appropriate for the annex to this building. So we'll be taking $308,000 of emergency services funds to buy furniture and other equipment for this future building, but we can't spend $150,000 for an ambulance in a rural area. So that's all I wanted to say about that. The other item was the matter of using the revenue sharing, which the $3 million of unallocated revenue sharing, which I had hoped that we would show as a rebate on the tax bill. And again, this motion that I made failed by a 3-4 vote. And again, I'd like to express my thanks to Darcy Salmon and Assemblymember Woods for their positive votes in that failed effort. I did ask the manager for his feelings, which he expressed earlier the other night, of the problems or the potential problems by not doing this as a rebate. Apply this tax relief as a rebate instead of applying it directly to budget as revenue. So some of his concerns, which I think are shared by the finance director and the budget analyst and several other people, amongst others, are that the average personnel cost increase over 6%, we've had that kind of a cost increase over 6% consistently over the last decade. Those are annual increases. We have increased costs for volunteer EMS staff of over $1 million. The MB Susitna Ferry is still an unanswered and costly question. We have an annual rise of contractual and utility expenses. Limited financial options for unanticipated problems or assembly projects. And we risk additional declining revenues if the state of Alaska does not equal or exceed the 2013 revenue sharing amount of $5,600,000. So as the manager said earlier, we can provide services under this action, between service cuts or service elimination if this revenue cannot be replaced. So there's my 2 cents in my over the budget that we have, and those are a couple of the reasons why. But as always, the majority rules around this horseshoe, and I accept the budget we have, and we move forward.
Thank you. Assemblymember Culver.
Well, it's too bad you're not very, Warren, you know, there's been times that I have served here and I went out of my way to make sure that there was adequate public safety for the Glen Highway portion of your district. I can remember, I think it was about in 2006, I supported Lynn Woods and we put a new ambulance in at Sutton. The management wanted to give them an old ambulance recycled from somewhere else, and I think the argument at the time was that a life up that way was the same as a life any other place, and they deserved it. So that is just not true. If we start getting catty about districts, we start breaking down around here. And you know, I understand. I can hear your frustration, but we're here as borough assembly members, not district assembly members. And so if we get into this, what my district gets, your district gets, we wouldn't have the port because that took everybody to pull behind that. You know, District 6 doesn't have an ambulance bay. District 6 doesn't have a library. District 6 doesn't have any community centers. So, you know, and we have been very supportive of the library. I don't need to restate that, but, you know, that's that doesn't work very well when we start getting down to these what project and where you know, perhaps you know, that you could have got that ambulance in there somehow. It seemed like things were getting ready to close down very quickly on this budget. You know, it's not over. I mean, there's going to be opportunities. And, you know, no one's stealing money from the EMS budget to provide for decent safe, comfortable working environments for our employees. We have a duty to do that as well, and that's what the annex construction is about. But that was the funds that was identified by the finance director as unused capital projects. And there's a ton of them out there. And so, you know, you probably could find one to reprogram for your purpose, and we could take another look at that. But I would just, let's try to look at the positive things. I mean, there is some funds probably out there that can be done to accomplish that. Or there's probably money left that will lapse this year that you may be able to work with management on getting that work done inside their existing budget. So it's not a that it can't happen. It's just finding another way to make it happen. So I would just reach out to you and say, let's try to get beyond discouragements and over this budget and try to work together. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to pick through the hairball of drama here and pull out 2 points. One, youth court is a borough-wide problem. It's unfortunate the city of Wasilla's police department has to be the sponsor. I'm sure they would like to have it be a borough problem. Number two, dispatch for EMS is a liability for everybody, including police, fire, and ambulance. It's not a Wasilla issue. I happen to live in Wasilla, but it's a big issue that we could save $1 million or $2 million a year by teaming together. And we also dispatch, Wasilla dispatches for the troopers as well. It should be a huge priority. It's a big waste of money at the moment, and it's a liability. And so I would hope you look at it as a borough-wide problem that would help you in Sutton and elsewhere, especially in remote parts of our borough. Thank you.
Anybody else? Assemblymember Deputy Mayor.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. So, you know, I appreciate that this passed tonight, and I expected that there would be dissension based on last week's discussion, but sorry to drag you out here. I think it was important to do it. I think if we're going to advertise that we've presented a budget that is flat, not relatively flat, but rather flat, then we ought to do that. And the tax bill, you know, with this whole smoke and mirrors deal on the rebate for revenue sharing, it's not very often that I've ever been in agreement with Mr. Sykes, but when he came up and spoke tonight, he about regurgitated what I said when he wasn't sitting here earlier in the day. And I agree with that. That is the problem. So I'm glad that we did not give that in the form of a rebate. When you look at your invoice, your property tax invoice from the borough, has the set mill rate, has your local service NICs on it, and then it's got a cash, a dollar amount rebate. And now it won't. It will be a mill rate. And it will be clear to everybody that pays their property tax. And I appreciate the support that was shown to establish that process. So now we really do have what is, I think, a codified revenue cap. And we can start building budgets within that framework. And if there are issues that simply can't be funded, again, this is not a Chicken Little deal. This is not the sky is falling. As a function of the assembly, if it has the political will to do so, can manipulate that revenue cap, as that is code ordinance by the assembly. So with that, I think it's solid. I think we did some good work, and I appreciate the support that was given for it. Thank you.
So anybody else? Manager wants last word here.
Yes, I would I'd like to set assembly goal setting session on Saturday, June 16th at 10 a.m.
It won't work. It won't be used in the day.
Can we do an evening?
No. Who wants it better? You, does it? You can't make it either way, correct?
No, I'm out. I'm gone.
Assembly member Solomon has a town tour here today.
June the 9th?
June 9th. Will work?
Evening.
January 12th. Madam Clerk?
I know that a lot of people, through the mayor to the manager, I know a lot of people maybe are out of town the first July 4th time frame. However, we do not have an early July meeting. The first meeting in July is July 17th.
Yeah,
but I don't know.
Be.
We weren't going to have any meeting in July, were we?
July 17th we do. And
I remember one year we did.
What I'll do is I will, let's say, regurgitate. I will refresh with a memo our goals, and then we'll look at a future date to sit down and discuss those and how they might be modified or changed.
And I will, you will get my budget comments tomorrow night. And I will state the governor signed off this afternoon, and we didn't lose anything in the process. So I'm thankful for that. The Moose Federation lost some money, so that does affect us to some degree. But
$1 million.
Yeah, was a big cut.
1.5 to 500.
So, if there's no objection, we will adjourn and thank you for your business. Thank you for